الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضاه، وأن يحسن لنا الختام، وأن يجعل نياتنا خالصة لوجهه. كنا قد ذكرنا في الدرس الماضي أن قبور الأنبياء والأولياء من المواضع التي يرجى فيها إجابة الدعاء وحصول البركة. In the past class, we mentioned that the graves of the prophets and the graves of al-awliya, the pious Muslims, are places where it is hoped, it is hoped for one to get blessings, and if he makes dua there, for his dua to be answered. ومن جملة ما ذكره العلماء في ذلك قبر معروف الكرخي رضي الله عنه. And among what the scholars mentioned about this issue is the grave of معروف الكرخي. قبره في بغداد. His grave is in Baghdad. وهو معروف مشهور بين الناس بالترياق المجرب، الدواء المجرب يعني. It is known among the people by the name since long time ago. يعني it's known among the people more than 1100 years ago by the name of التريّاق المجرّب، which means the tested medicine. لأنه معروف أن الإنسان إذا قصده فدعا الله عنده يستجاب دعاؤه يحصل مراده. It is well known that if the person goes there, make dua there, he will get what he makes dua for. Ibn al-Mulaqqin, هذا من الحفاظ الفقهاء اللغويين الشافعية، عاش من نحو 600 سنة، قال كان صعب علي أمور، كلما صعبت علي أذهب إلى قبر معروف أدعو الله تبارك وتعالى، كلما فعلت ذلك يحصل مرادي. قال عدة دفعات كل مرة يحصل مرادي. ابن الملقن who was a scholar of hadith, fiqh and language, شافعي, a non-شافعي scholar. For several times, some issues became difficult for him to acquire. And each time when this happened, he said, each time when this happened, I used to go to the grave of Ma'ruf al-Karkhi. And each time I go there, I would go there, make dua there, I would get what I want. كذلك الحافظ الخطيب البغدادي الحافظ المشهور الخطيب البغدادي في كتابه تاريخ بغداد يذكر عن الحسن الخلال الله في كتابه تاريخ بغداد ذكر عن إبراهيم الحربي رضي الله عنه أنه كان يقول قبر معروف الترياق المجرب. In his book تاريخ بغداد, the well-known scholar الخطيب البغدادي narrated from Ibrahim al-Harbi that he said قبر معروف الترياق المجرب, which means the grave of معروف is the tested medicine. وهذا إبراهيم الحربي كان يوازى يشبه بأحمد بن حنبل, كان عظيم القدر, عالما عظيم القدر جدا في أيام أحمد, في زمان أحمد, وكان يشبه به من علو قدره. This person, Ibrahim al-Harbi, lived during the time of Al-Imam Ahmad. He was a very great scholar and a very pious person, so the people used to liken him to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, رضي الله عنه. كان حافظاً فقيهاً بلغ درجة الاجتهاد. He was a hafiz of hadith, a very great scholar, a big linguist. He reached the level of al-ijtihad. Ibrahim al-Harbi, يقال له. وهذا الترياق كثير المنافع. معروف عند الأطباء بكثرة منافعه, فكأنه كان يقول أيها الناس اقصدوا قبر معروف يحصل لكم منافع كثيرة هناك. This type of medicine called التريق is well known for its benefits. It has many benefits. So as if معروف was saying, oh people, go to the grave. As if Ibrahim al-Harbi was saying, oh people, go to the grave of Ma'ruf al-Karkhi and you will get a lot of benefits there. وروى الخطيب البغدادي أيضا عن عبد الرحمن بن محمد الزهري أنه قال سمعت أبي لا روى عن عبد الرحمن بن محمد الزهري أنه قال قبر معروف مجرب لقضاء الحوائج. الخطيب also in his book narrated from عبد الرحمن the son of محمد الزهري that he said the grave of معروف is well known for those who want their needs to be fulfilled. قال وقيل من قرأ عنده سورة الإخلاص قل هو الله أحد 100 مرة وسأل الله تعالى ما يريد قضى الله له حاجته. He said, it is said that the one who recites Surah Al-Ikhlas 100 times at the grave of Ma'ruf and then asks Allah for what he wants, Allah grants him that. أيضا روى الخطيب في تاريخه عن المحاملي وهو من أكابر فقهاء الشافعية القدماء أنه قال: أعرف قبر معروف الكرخي منذ 70 سنة، ما قصده مهموم إلا فرج الله عنه. Also الخطيب البغدادي narrated in his book تاريخ بغداد, The History of Baghdad, from أبو عبد الله المحاملي, a very well-known old Shafi'i scholar. He said, early Shafi'i scholar, not old, early Shafi'i scholar. He said, I know the grave of Ma'ruf al-Karkhi since 70 years ago. Everyone who is... distressed because of a certain difficulty, who went to it, that is, and made dua there, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala relieved him from that. ولما كان الإمام الشافعي رضي الله عنه في بغداد كان يجيء إلى قبر الإمام أبي حنيفة يتبرك به. قال: إني لأتبرك بأبي حنيفة وأجيء إلى قبره في كل يوم، فإذا عرضت لي حاجة، إذا أردت حاجة، إذا كنت أريد أمرا، صليت ركعتين وجئت إلى قبره وسألت الله تعالى الحاجة عنده، فما تبعد عني حتى تنقضي. يعني بعد وقت قصير الله يقضي حاجتي. When الإمام الشافعي was in Baghdad, he said, I seek blessings from Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa died years, many years before that. He died at the same year when Al-Shafi'i was born. So Al-Shafi'i said, I seek blessings from Abu Hanifa, that is, from his grave. Each day I come to his grave to visit, that is. And if I need anything, I pray 2 rak'ahs, then I come to his grave, I make dua at his grave, and my need would be fulfilled very shortly after that. هذا رواه عن الشافعي رضي الله عنه أيضا الخطيب البغدادي في تاريخ بغداد. This story about Al-Shafi'i is narrated from him by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi also in his book, The History of Baghdad. هذا بعض قليل 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 مما تحويه كتب علماء المسلمين مؤرخيهم ومحدثيهم وفقهائهم. This is only a slight portion of what the books of the Muslim scholars, whether they are scholars of hadith, of fiqh, of history, or the like. This is a slight portion of what these books contain pertaining to this issue. وهي تدل على أن منهج المسلمين جميعا زيارة قبور الأنبياء والصالحين لأجل البركة. It shows very clearly that the path of the Muslim nation is to visit the graves of the prophets and the pious people seeking the blessings from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by that. فالعجب كيف تجرأ ابن تيمية على منع هذا الأمر. So it is so... it's so strange how Ibn Taymiyyah dared to say that this is a prohibited matter. ولو قال لو اكتفى بأن قال إن هذا رأيي إن هذا ممنوع وهذا رأيي لكان الخطب أهون. If he only said this is my opinion, that would be less dangerous to the other Muslims. لكنه ما قال ما اكتفى بهذا قال قال إجماع بين علماء المسلمين منع هذا الأمر. He didn't stop there. He said it is a consensus among the Muslim scholars. I don't know who he means by Muslim scholars. Maybe himself. He said it is a consensus among the Muslim scholars to forbid this issue. وأيضا ما وقف هنا لو وقف هنا أيضا لكان الخطب أقل. Even he didn't stop here. Had he been stopped here, it would be less harmful. لكنه قال والذي يفعل هذا كافر. He went to say, to the extent of saying, the one who does that, who visits the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام or any other prophet or other pious people is a blasphemer. He said, he was seeking the blessings, he said, he is a blasphemer. لذلك علماء عصره شددوا النكير عليه. This is why this was known about him when he was alive. And this is why they stood firmly against him. هذا عرف عنه. له أقوال شاذة أخرى ما اشتهرت في حياته. أما هذا القول اشتهر عنه في حياته. He has other deviated opinions, but it was not known, they were not known about him, widely known about him during his life. This opinion was widely known about him during his life. Al-Hafiz Taqiyuddin al-Subki ألف كتابا في الرد عليه من أهل زمانه. الحافظ السبكي كان في وقت ابن تيمية حيا. The great scholar of hadith, fiqh and other issues, Taqiyuddin al-Subki, authored a book refuting Ibn Taymiyyah. مطبوع هذا الكتاب موجود. It is printed. You can buy it from the market. اسمه أولا سماه شن الغارة على من أنكر سفر الزيارة ثم غير اسمه فسماه شفاء السقام في زيارة خير الأنام. First he named it, how do I say it in English? شنُّ الغارة على من أنكر سفر الزيارة. First he named it waging the raid against the one who prevented traveling to visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Then he changed the name of the book and he named it شفاء استقام بفتح السين. شفاء استقام في زيارة خير الأنام, which means the healing from the sickness by visiting the best among the creation. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا الكلام الذي نذكره ليس افتراء على ابن تيمية. يعني this is not something that fabricated about ابن تيمية. الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني في كتابه الدرر الكامنة يقول هذه المسألة من مستشنع المسائل المنسوبة لابن تيمية. مسألة شنيعة يعني من مسائل ابن تيمية. الحافظ ابن حجر in his book الدرر الكامنة said that this is a very ugly statement among the statements copied from ابن تيمية. لما تصدى علماء عصره له هذا الأمر ما انتشر. When the scholars of his era stood strongly against him, his deviated sayings did not spread. لكن لما ظهر محمد بن عبد الوهاب هذا الذي ذكرناه قبل نبش كتب ابن تيمية وأحيا هذه المقالات. But when محمد ابن عبد الوهاب appeared, he searched for the books of ابن تيمية, or maybe someone gave them to him. Maybe some people say that an English spy presented him with these books. Anyway, somehow he got the books of Ibn Taymiyyah and he revived his bad sayings. فكلما قال إنسان هذه المقالة الشنيعة وكفر المسلمين في الشرق والغرب بسببها يتجدد الإثم على ابن تيمية. Every time someone says this statement and judges the Muslims in the East and the West to be blasphemers because of that, Ibn Taymiyyah gets more sins because of that. لأنه كان أول من ابتدع هذه الضلالة. أول من سن هذه السنة السيئة. Because he was the first one to make this bad innovation. فكل من تبعه فيها عليه إثم وعليه وعلى ابن تيمية أيضا إثم. So everyone who follows him in this will be sinful for that, and ابن تيمية will be more sinful because of that. شيخ من المشايخ صديقي ذهب إلى الحج, وجد هناك قد وضعوا كرسيا لواحد يدرس. تعرفون أن الوهابية يحكمون الحجاز الآن. وضعوا كرسيا لمدرس ليدرس الحجاج, مدرس رسمي معين هناك. قال لي سمعته يقول بالحرف الواحد ثلاثة أرباع الأمة مشركون. A friend of mine, a sheikh, a friend of mine, he went to Al-Hajj. And in Al-Hajj, you know, the Wahhabis rule there in Mecca, Al-Madinah, etc. They put a chair for, يعني, a special seat for someone to teach the people who come to make Al-Hajj. And this friend told me, I heard him saying specifically this statement, ثَلَاثَةُ أَرْبَاعِ الْأُمَّةِ مُشْرِكُونَ, which means three quarters of this nation are not believers. They are مُشْرِكُونَ. They take partners with Allah. قَالْ لِأَنَّهُمْ يَزُورُونَ قَبْرَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, لأنهم يسافرون لزيارة القبر النبوي للبركة. يقصدون القبر النبوي للبركة. He said, because they travel and they seek visiting the grave of the Prophet for al-barakah. حفيد محمد بن عبد الوهاب له كتاب سماه فتح المجيد, وله كتاب آخر سماه قرة عيون الموحدين. في هذين الكتابين يقول أهل مصر كفار لأنهم يعبدون أحمد البدوي, وأهل الشام كفار لأنهم يعبدون محي الدين بن عربي, وأهل العراق كفار لأنهم يعبدون عبد القادر الجيلاني, وأهل اليمن كفار لأنهم يعبدون أحمد بن علوان. قال وهكذا سائر بلاد المسلمين. The grandson of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, his name is Abdul Rahman, authored two books. One of them is called Fathul Majid. The other one is called Qurratu Uyun al-Muwahideen. In these two books, they are printed. They are there in the market. And I saw these statements with my eyes in these books. So he said, the people of Egypt are blasphemers because they worship Ahmed al-Badawi, Sheikh Ahmed al-Badawi. You know, the people of Egypt do not worship Sheikh Ahmed al-Badawi. They go to visit him, seeking the blessings there. But he lies. He says they worship Ahmed al-Badawi. He continued to say the people of Asham are blasphemers because they worship Muhyiddin ibn Arabi. The people of Al-Iraq are blasphemers because they worship Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. And the people of Al-Yemen are blasphemers because they worship Ahmed ibn Alwan. He continued to say, and likewise the West Islamic countries. عندهم كل المسلمين كفار إلا من تبع نحلتهم الزائغة. For them, they consider all the Muslims to be blasphemers except the one who follows their ill the ill cult. هكذا علمهم محمد بن عبد الوهاب. This is what Muhammad ibn عبد الوهاب taught them. له كتاب سماه, في أكثر من كتاب يذكر هذا لكن نذكر واحدا, له كتاب سماه كشف الشبهات. يقول فيه من تبعكم على عقيدتكم فهو مسلم, له ما لكم وعليه ما عليكم, ومن لم يتبعكم على عقيدتكم فهو كافر, دمه حلال وماله حلال. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has a book called كشف الشبهات. In it he says the one who follows you in your creed, that is in this ill creed of the Wahhabis, he is one of you. He will have the same rights as you and he will the same responsibilities are on him. He will share rights and responsibilities with you. But the one who does not follow you in your creed is a blasphemer who deserves to be killed and his belongings to be taken from him. بعد هذا أنا أعجب من بعض الناس الذين يقولون تعالوا نتوحد أهل السنة والوهابية. كيف أتوحد مع من يكفرني ويستحل دمي؟ كيف هذا؟ After all of this, I feel it very strange how some people say, let us unite with the Wahhabis. Let Ahlul Sunnah and the Wahhabis unite together. How do I unite with someone who judges me as a blasphemer? Not just that, and wants to kill me and take my belongings. He considers it lawful to kill me and take my belongings. هذا دين ليس رغيف خبز نتقاسمه مناصفة أو مثالثة أو لا أدري كيف. This is a religion. This is not a matter of a piece of bread that we, every one of us, takes a part, a portion of it. هذا دين مبني على اتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is a religion built based on following the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. من كانت عقيدته ضد عقيدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فليس مني ولست منه. Anyone who claims, even if he claims to be a Muslim, but his belief contradicts, is again the belief of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he is not, I'm not with him on the same side. MashaAllah. والذي يدل على أن ابن تيمية يتجدد عليه الإثم كلما أخذ إنسان بمقالته الفاسدة حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة لا ينقص من أجورهم شيء ومن سن في الإسلام سنة سيئة فعليه وزرها ووزر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة لا ينقص من أوزارهم شيء. The proof that whenever someone follows Ibn Taymiyyah in his ill saying Ibn Taymiyyah will be more sinful for that is the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which means everyone who innovates a good innovation will have reward for it, and he will get reward whenever a person follows him in this innovation. And everyone who innovates a prohibited innovation, he will be sinful for that, and more sinful every time someone follows him in this bad innovation. هذا الحديث صحيح رواه مسلم. This is a صحيح hadith narrated by Muslim. ومن هذا الحديث يستفاد فائدة أخرى. From this hadith one would benefit with another matter. يستفاد من هذا الحديث أن البدعة قسمان. From this hadith it is understood that there are two types of innovations. لَيْسَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ اسْتُحْدِثَ بَعْدَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ مِمَّا لَهُ عَلَاقَ بِأُمُورِ الدِّينِ لَيْسَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدِّينِ مِمَّا اسْتُحْدِثَ بَعْدَ وَفَاةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَرَامًا أَوْ بَاطِلًا. Not everything that was innovated among the matters of the religion, not everything that was innovated after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a bad innovation. إنما الأمر كما قال الإمام الشافعي البدعة على ضربين نوعين. Rather, the issue, the matter is like al-Imam al-Shafi'i said, there are two types of innovations. قال بِدْعَةُ هُدَى وَبِدْعَةُ ضَلَالَةَ. Shafi'i continued to say innovation of guidance and innovation of misguidance. فَمَا وَافَقَ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةَ وَالْإِجْمَاعَ وَالْأَثَرَ فَهُوَ بِدْعَةُ هُدَى. What is in compliance with the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the consensus of the nation, is an innovation of guidance. وَمَا خَالَفَ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةَ وَالْإِجْمَاعَ وَالْأَثَرَ فَهُوَ بِدْعَةُ ضَلَالَةَ. And what contradicts the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the consensus of the nation, is an innovation of misguidance. فَإِذَنْ يُفْهَمُ مِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ وَغَيْرِهِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ مُسْلِمْ الْمُتَقَدِّمْ الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ وَغَيْرِهِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ أَذِنَ لأكابر علماء هذه الأمة, ليس لأي عالم, لأكابر علماء هذه الأمة أن يستحدثوا أشياء متعلقة بالدين لم يذكرها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام صراحة, لم ينص عليها ولا فعلها صلى الله عليه وسلم, لكنها موافقة لشرعه صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأن هذا شيء حسن. It is understood from this hadith and other hadith, the hadith narrated by Muslim, that Allah made it permissible in the rules revealed to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that the top scholars of this nation would innovate certain matters that are related to the matters of the religion, among the matters of the religion, which the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not mention explicitly, and he did not do them, he neither did them nor mentioned them explicitly by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, but that would be in compliance with the rules revealed to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولهذا لأجل هذا الإذن أحدث سيدنا عمر شيئا لم يكن في زمن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا في زمن سيدنا أبي بكر. And because of this permission, our master Umar innovated something that did not exist during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, nor did it exist during the time of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. في زمن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ما كان الناس يجتمعون لصلاة التراويح على إمام واحد. هذا ما كان. حتى على نفسه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام ما جمعهم لصلاة التراويح. During the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, people did not gather to pray all together behind one imam in the mosque the prayers of at-Tarawih. They did not come together to pray at night after the Isha prayer, optional prayers. Even the Prophet did not tell them, pray behind me, gather behind me. He did not say that and he did not do it. كان يصلي الرجل وحده أو يصلي ويصلي معه بعض الأشخاص وآخر يصلي ويصلي معه بعض الأشخاص وهكذا. They would pray that prayer alone, or one would pray and few people would follow him, some people would follow him, then another one would pray, and when they finish, another one would pray and some people follow him, and so on. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بضع ليالي أيضا النبي ما كان يصلي في المسجد قيام رمضان. And the Prophet did not do these prayers in the masjid. فقط بضع ليالي خرج إلى المسجد صلى فصلى معه ناس. Only few days he prayed in the masjid these prayers. And when he prayed in the masjid, people prayed behind him. Some people prayed behind him. اليوم الأول بعض الناس, اليوم الثاني أكثر, اليوم الثالث أكثر, لكنه ما استمر على هذا. ولا قال صلوا خلفي. The first day some people prayed behind him, the next day more, the third day more, but then he did not continue. And he did not tell them at any point, come all together and pray behind me. He did not do it, he did not say it. في زمن أبي بكر بقي الأمر هكذا. During the time of Abu Bakr, it stayed like that. لما جاء سيدنا عمر في زمن في خلافة عمر جمعهم على إمام واحد وعلى 20 ركعة. During the caliphate of Umar رضي الله عنه, he told the people to pray these prayers all in congregation behind one imam, Ubay ibn Ka'b, and 20 rak'ahs. هذا أمر ما كان في زمن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا في زمن أبي بكر. This is something that did not take place during the time of the Prophet, nor during the time of Abu Bakr. مع ذلك فعله عمر. Despite that, عمر did it. لماذا؟ لأن هذا بدعة حسنة. Why? Because this is a good innovation. عمر من أكابر علماء الأمة الذين هم حقيقة علماء. مش هول اللي بيقروا كتاب كتابين ويدعي الواحد منهم أنه عالم. الله أعلم كم يفهم من هذا الكتاب أو إيش الكتاب الذي يقرأه. عمر من أكابر علماء الأمة لا شك رضي الله عنه. من أكابر علماء الأمة كان رضي الله عنه وفعل شيئا لا يخالف الشريعة. هذا يقال له بدعة حسنة. هو قال رضي الله عنه, نظر إليهم يصلون هكذا كلهم مجتمعين خلف إمام واحد, ثم قال نعمة البدعة هذه. هذه بدعة حسنة. نعمة البدعة هذه والتي تنامون عنها أفضل. يعني ولو أخرتم الصلاة فصليتم في آخر الليل بدل أول الليل, بدل أن تصلوا بعد العشاء, لو أخرتم فصليتم في آخر الليل لكان هذا أحسن. نعمة البدعة هذه والتي تنامون عنها أفضل. Our master Umar, because he was a great scholar, among the scholars of this nation, innovated this innovation, which does not contradict the rules revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And he himself called it a good innovation. He looked at the people praying behind one imam, and he said, نعمت البدعة هذه, which means, what a good innovation is this innovation. Then he continued to say, and the prayer that do not pray, يعني, the prayer that and that you miss while you are sleeping is better than this. Which means, if you delay praying these prayers until the end of the night, this would be better. This is a good innovation, this is a good thing, but if you delay praying until the end of the night, it is better. هذا الكلام كلام سيدنا عمر رواه الإمام البخاري في صحيحه والإمام مالك في موطئه. This statement of Umar رضي الله عنه is narrated by الإمام مالك in his book الموطأ and by الإمام البخاري in his book الصحيح. هذا مثال لما قلنا إنه بدعة حسنة. This is an example of the good innovation. مثال آخر, الأذان الثاني يوم الجمعة. Another example is the second أذان before the prayer of Al-Jumu'ah. في أيام النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ما كانوا يؤذنون للجمعة إلا أذانا واحدا. بعد أن يطلع الإمام إلى المنبر يؤذنون. During the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they only had one أذان before the Jumu'ah prayer. They never did two at the time of the Prophet. Nor the Prophet told them to do it, nor they did it. After the Imam would sit at his seat, they would call for the Adhan. That's it, once. وَهَكَذَا فِي زَمَنْ أَبِي بَكْرِ, same thing occurred during the time of Abu Bakr. وَهَكَذَا فِي زَمَنِ عُمَرْ, the same thing occurred during the time of Umar. في زمن عثمان رأى عثمان أن يؤذن أذانا قبل ذلك الأذان فتصير فيصير العدد أذانين قبل الصلاة فزاد أذانا قبل الصلاة. During the time of عثمان رضي الله عنه, he saw that it is beneficial to add an adhan, another adhan, before the Jumu'ah prayer. So two adhans would be called before the Jumu'ah prayer. One before the imam sits on his seat, and the second after he does. هذا شيء ما قاله النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا فعل في زمانه. وهو متعلق بأمر الدين أو لا؟ صلاة الجمعة أذان هذا. مع ذلك ما أحد أنكر على عثمان, قال له كيف تفعل؟ لأن الله تعالى أذن لأكابر علماء الأمة أن يستحدثوا أمورا في الدين لم ينص عليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا فعلت في زمانه, لكن من غير أن تكون هذه الأمور مخالفة لشريعته. So our master Uthman did that, and no one among the companions objected to him. Why? Because Uthman was a great scholar, and because Allah gave the permission to the top scholars of this nation to innovate certain things in what pertains to the matters of the religion in compliance with the rules revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Even if the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not mention these matters explicitly and did not do them before he died. ليس هذا فقط بل انتشر هذا الأمر في كل بلاد المسلمين وعليه العمل في أيامنا. Not just that this issue spread in all the Muslim countries, and this is what the Muslims in all countries do. They call twice for the Adhan before the Jumu'ah prayer. مثال ثالث المصحف في زمن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ما كان يوجد نقط فيه ولا أيام أبي بكر ولا عمر ولا عثمان ولا علي. A third example is Al-Mushaf, the book of Al-Quran. During the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the letters did not have dots. There were no dots. The Arabs used to write without dots. The Ta did not have two dots above it. The Ya did not have two dots underneath it. The Noon did not have a dot above it. The Ba did not have a dot underneath it. They were strong enough in the language that they did not need these dots to read properly. ثم في زمن التابعين ثم واحد من التابعين يقال له يحيى بن يعمر عالم كبير مجتهد يقال له يحيى بن يعمر كان أول من نقط المصحف وضع هذا النقط في المصحف. Later, one among the great scholars of the followers of the companions, Yahya ibn Ya'mar, he was the first one who put dots in the book of Al-Quran for the Arabic letters in Al-Quran. ما أحد قال هذا ضلال لا يؤخذ به لأن هذه بدعة حسنة. كل المسلمين الآن يقرؤون في المصحف والمصحف كيف؟ منقوط. كل المصاحف التي يقرأ فيها الآن الناس منقوطة. All the books of Al-Quran that people use to read Al-Quran nowadays have dots. This act was accepted by the Muslims, although it was not done by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet did not mention it explicitly because it does not contradict the rules of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. It complies with them, although it is related to the matters of the religion. إلى هنا واضح. Up till here, is it clear? ومن هنا يعلم أنه لا يجوز أن يقول قائل كل شيء استحدث في الدين بعد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كل ما استحدث مما له علاقة بأمور الدين بعد موت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فهو بدعة. يريد بذلك بدعة إيش؟ بدعة ضلالة. هذا الكلام لا يجوز. From this it is known that it is not permissible to say that everything that was innovated and pertains to the religion after the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is bad. And it is a bad innovation. الذي يقول هذا كأنه يقول عمر مبتدع، عثمان مبتدع، يحيى بن يعمر مبتدع، عمر بن عبد العزيز مبتدع، وهكذا. The one who says that as if he's saying عمر is a bad innovator, عثمان is a bad innovator, يحيى بن يعمر is a bad innovator, عمر بن عبد العزيز is a bad innovator, and so on. ليس هذا فقط. بل الذي يقول هذا كأنه يقول الصحابة والتابعون كلهم سكتوا على الباطل، لأنهم لم يعترضوا على هذه البدعة الحسنة. Not just that, but the one who says that as if he's saying that all the companions and the followers kept silent when bad innovations took place and no one among them objected to that. And this is not acceptable. بعض الناس الذين ما قرأوا ما تعلموا العلم عند أهله، ما عرفوا ماذا قال الإمام الشافعي، ما عرفوا ماذا نص عليه النووي، ما عرفوا أيش قال البيهقي، إنما قرأوا وحدهم بعض الآيات والأحاديث وظنوا أنهم بذلك يصيرون من العلماء من غير الأخذ عن أهل العلم والدراسة على أهل العلم. بعض هؤلاء قرأ حديثا من أحاديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ما فهمه على وجهه، فصار يقول كل شيء استحدث بعد وفاة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام مما لم يذكره الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا فعل في عهده فهو باطل. Some people who did not learn the matters of the religion properly, they did not learn from the knowledgeable people, really knowledgeable people. They just read few verses or maybe the whole Quran without learning the true interpretation of Al-Quran. They read some of the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and they relied on themselves to explain this hadith. Some of these people who did not acquire the knowledge properly, that is, read a hadith, one hadith among the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and thought because of that that every innovation related to the matters of the religion that was done after the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, which the Prophet did not mention explicitly and which was not done at his time and he did not do it, is a bad thing, invalid deed. وهذا غلط, and this is wrong. لما بيناه, we just talked about that. الحديث الذي ما فهموه هو حديث أبي داود أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. ظنوا أن معنى هذا الحديث أن كل شيء استحدث بعد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فهو ضلالة على الإطلاق. This hadith is the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood, the hadith that they misunderstood. Is the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood in which the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. هؤلاء ظنوا أن معنى كل بدعة ضلالة يعني كل شيء استحدث بعد وفاة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام على الإطلاق، وليس هذا معنى الحديث. كل بدعة ضلالة معناه كل ما خالف شرع الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام مما استحدث بعد موته فهو ضلالة، فلا يدخل فيه البدعة الحسنة. They thought that this hadith means every innovation is a bad innovation. Truly, this hadith means that every innovation that contradicts the rules of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is a bad innovation. كل هنا في هذا الموضع لا تعني الأفراد فردا فردا كلها عموم الأفراد كلها فردا فردا، إنما تعني الكثير منها. يدل على هذا الحديث الآخر: من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة، وأحاديث أخرى. The term كل in this hadith does not mean every innovation without an exception. The term كل in this hadith refers to many. That is, many innovations are bad innovations, are innovations of misguidance. What stands as a proof for that is the other hadith: everyone who innovates a good innovation in al-Islam will be rewarded for it. Hadith كل بدعة ضلالة صحيح عن النبي، وحديث من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة صحيح عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. لا يسعنا أن نهمل هذا ونتركه ونلقيه خلف ظهورنا، ولا يسعنا أن نهمل هذا ونتركه ونلقيه خلف ظهورنا. هذا الحديث حجة وهذا الحديث حجة، فنتمسك بالحديثين كليهما ونقول معنى كل هنا الأغلب الكثير، وهذا معروف في لغة العرب، فلا يكون هناك تناقض بين الحديثين، ولا يكون هناك تناقض بين الحديث وبين فعل الصحابة، إنما نكون تمسكنا بالحديثين ووفقنا بينهما واتخذنا كلا الحديثين حجة من غير أن نطرح واحدا منهما جانبا، وهذا الذي ينبغي مع أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith كل بدعة ضلالة is a صحيح حديث. The other hadith من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة is a صحيح حديث. So we need to believe in both. We need to work according to both. Both of them are proofs. We are not entitled to ignore nor this one nor the other one. So what we do, we adhere to both of them by saying that the first hadith, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, means many among the innovations are innovations of misguidance. And it is known in the Arabic language that the term kul would mean many. And the other hadith would be in reference to the good innovation that does not contradict the rules of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this way we adhere to both hadith and we do not neglect either among them. And this is what we should do with the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. We should not ignore any of them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala qal, tudammiru kulla shay'in bi amri rabbiha, wa lam tudammir ar-rih al-ard, wa lam tudammir al-jibal, ila akhirih. معناه تدمر أشياء كثيرة. Allah said in the verse about the wind with which Allah تبارك وتعالى punished some previous nation, Allah said in Al-Quran, تدمر كل شيء بإذن ربها. In this verse, the term كل is used. This wind did not, tudammir means to destroy. Shay means thing. This wind did not destroy everything. It did not destroy the earth. It did not destroy the mountains. It did not destroy other issues, other things. So kul here refers to many. Another example. مثال آخر. كل. بأمر ربها. قلت بإذني. تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها. الآية. The first is تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها. Okay. مثال آخر. حديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. كل عين زانية. Another example, the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, كل عين زانية. The term كل in this hadith, if you want to say that it means every, then this hadith would mean every eye commits a zina, which is not the meaning. الحديث ليس معناه أن كل عين بلا استثناء تزني بل معناه الأغلب وإلا أعين الأنبياء تزني حاشا وكلا فإذا ما معنى كل عين زانية معناه الأغلب الأغلب على البشر أن عيون البشر يحصل منها زنا النظر ها هنا أيضا كل لا تعني كل واحد بلا استثناء. The proper meaning of this hadith is that most of the people, they commit this sin. They look lustfully to those whom they are not permitted to look lustfully. So they commit a zina of the eye. And it does not mean every eye commits a zina because at least for sure the eyes of the prophets do not do that. At least. واحد من الأولياء كان يقول ما أبالي رأيت امرأة أو رأيت عنزا أنا لا أتأثر بالمرأة. One of the pious Muslims used to say, I don't care if I see a woman or a goat. It means, well, this is what he said. It means I'm not at all, yani, this doesn't affect me at all. So what, the term kul does not always mean everyone. إذن كل لا تعني دائما كل واحد بلا استثناء. فجمعا بين الأدلة الشرعية أهل السنة قالوا كما قال الإمام الشافعي رضي الله عنه البدعة على ضربين وهذا مأخوذ من الحديث. So to adhere to all the different religious proofs, أهل السنة said that there are two types of innovation, good innovation and the bad innovation, as Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i said, and as you know now, and as you knew, this is taken from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَهَؤُلَاءِ النَّاسِ الَّذِينَ كُلَّمَا رَأَوْ شَيْئًا لَا يُعْجِبُهُمْ يَقُولُونَ بِدْعَ 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 لَا تَلْتَفِتُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. So these people that whenever they see something that they do not like, they say, bid'a, 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 don't pay attention to them. لَيْسَ كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ مَذْمُومَةٍ بَلْ مَا خَالَفَ الشَّرْعِ مِنَ الْبِدْعِ مَذْمُومٌ وَمَا وَافَقَ الشَّرْعِ غَيْرُ مَذْمُومٌ. Not every innovation is a bad innovation. What contradicts the rules of the religion among the innovations is a bad innovation. Are bad innovations. What complies with the rules of the religion are not bad innovations, rather they are good innovations. Inshallah, نكتفي بهذا. نقف هنا والله أعلم. Let us stop here. Allah knows best. Ahad عنده سؤال, do you have any questions? ما في إشكال. هذا تفسير هني. تفيد ليش حتى ما تفيد؟ سنة الخلفاء الأربعة هي استحداث ما لم يفعله النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ولم ينص عليه, هذه سنتهم فيجوز لغير, هذه طريقتهم, عليكم بسنتي يعني تمسكوا بطريقتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين, أي وطريقة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. ومن طريقة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين استحداث البدعة الحسنة. ما فيه دليل يا هؤلاء, ما فيه دليل. بعدين ايش يريدون ان يقولوا؟ ما يفعله هؤلاء الأربعة هذا يكون مثل كأن النبي فعله, هيك يريدون ان يقولوا؟ يعني يقولون بعصمة الأئمة كما تقول الشيعة. وهذا معنى كلامهم إذا قالوا عليكم, إذا فسروا بسنتي أن ما فعله, ما يفعله أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي كأن النبي فعله, إذا قالوا هذا جعلوا أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان مثل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, جعلوهم معصومين مثل رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذه مقالة الشيعة ليست مقالتنا. عمر كان قال للناس, يا ناس أي واحد يزيد في المهر على ما دفع للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أو ما دفع لإحدى بناته أو دفعه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام مهرا, أنا أخذ الزيادة وأحطها في بيت المال. امرأة فقيها لما نزل عن المنبر قالت له ليس لك ذلك يا أمير المؤمنين, معناه غلطت يا عمر, وذكرت له الآية فآتيتم إحداهن قنطارا فلا تأخذوا منه شيئا. عرف عمر أنه غلط, رجع إلى المنبر قال للناس إنه غلط, قال أخطأ عمر وأصابت امرأة, ليدفع إنسان ما شاء. هذا ماذا يقولون؟ هذا سنة عمر, هذا فعل من أفعال عمر كان خطأ. ثم هو قال خطأ. السنة معناه الطريقة, هذا معنى السنة في هذا الحديث. ما لهم حجة. نعم تفضل دابية. No. No, no, no. Whatever they like, they don't say about it, it's an innovation, a bad innovation. What they don't like, they say about it, it is a bad innovation. So, it depends. These are people who did not learn the knowledge as they should learn. So they don't have the proper balance to weigh things. They do not have the proper reference to refer to.
Are there any misguided readings of any verses of the Quran that are based on, that could come from calling one letter something else that would have a non-existent?
Nowadays?
Yeah.
Well, no one among all of us can read Al-Quran without dots properly. Yeah, no one among us can do that.
Of any particular verse, could come up with that meaning by changing the dots, by putting, say, you know, a note in place of a bat or something like that?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. some words in Arabic, if you change the dots, it changes the meaning, yes. But nowadays, I don't know about anyone who did, no one did anything or mentioned anything about that. In some mosques, these people, they wanted to... To block al-mihrab. You know al-mihrab, where the imam stands? It is concave, isn't it? Usually. At the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mihrab was not concave. So some of them, they said, this is a bad innovation. And they wanted to block these mihrabs in some mosques. People did not let them anyway. This was done during the time of the companions. No one among the companions or the followers said that this is a bad innovation or whatever. These are... I don't know how to say it in English. No, in French they say borné. Yani, they cannot think beyond their noses. Yeah. Square? This is a proper English word.
Okay.
I'm Saddal Ali.
Sometimes in what have you, they produce a saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that follow me.
You know it was asked, Rabbi. I know it was in Arabic. Ali understands some Arabic. He knows it was asked. He wants to get it in English. Because I didn't say it in English. He wants to get what I said in English. That's... the meaning of the hadith. طيب, let me tell you something. MashaAllah, you are clever people. So when you see that I'm escaping something, just leave this. Room for me to escape. You'll get me tomorrow. Because sometimes I would be tired, and speaking in English takes more concentration and energy from you. And I'll try. Anyway, I'll try. It is narrated from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. This hadith means follow my way and the way of the righteous caliphs. Adhere firmly to that. This does not mean that whatever a righteous caliph does would be considered as if the Prophet did it. You see what I mean? These Wahhabis, they try to say this hadith, and if you tell them, Umar innovated gathering the people, they would tell you, Umar is among the righteous caliphs. And the Prophet said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين. Sunnah here does not mean every deed that the four caliphs did. Sunnah means the path, the way. And the way of the four caliphs is to innovate certain things in compliance with the rules of the religion. So we follow them in that, and every qualified scholar like them can innovate a good innovation that does not contradict the rules of the religion, just as they did. So this hadith stands as a proof for what Ahl Sunnah said about this matter. It does not mean that the deeds of the four caliphs are like the deeds of the Prophet as they try to explain the hadith or misinterpret the hadith. Because the four caliphs were not... They were not infallible. Infallible. There is another impeccable. This is easier. Because the four caliphs were not impeccable, like the prophets are. Umar, it is known that Prophet Umar, that Master Umar radiyallahu anhu, told the people not to pay mahr more a certain amount, otherwise he would took it and put it in the Muslim treasury. A woman told him that he was wrong, and she produced the verse from Al-Quran that showed that he was wrong. He went back to the people and told them, I was wrong. Pay whatever mahr you want to pay. Ali, when he killed the people who worshipped him by burning them, Ibn Abbas considered this a mistake on the part of Ali. You might not agree with Ibn Abbas, but he did consider it as a mistake, because Ahl Sunnah do not consider the caliphs impeccable. A Shia, they say about certain imams that they are, certain people that they are impeccable after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is not our belief. So the Wahhabis in this issue are in compliance with the creed of Shia, partially in compliance with them, the way they explain this hadith. MashaAllah. No one ever heard that in the rules of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, there are two set of rules. One set for the righteous caliphs and another set for other people among the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These people don't have proofs, so they come up with whichever comes to their mind trying to support their ill saying instead of repenting from it. Is it clear? الله يبارك فيكم طيب نهلل لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله بكم